I'm going to start the recorder. I have an agenda in front of me almost. And where are my board members? Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
Welcome to CenturyLink Conferencing. Please enter your passcode followed by the pound or hash key and up. Please hold while I confirm your passcode. Thank you. Your passcode is confirmed. When you hear the tone, you will be the fourth person to join the meeting.
Hello, Jack just checked in. How is everybody?
Hello.
Hello, it's Kathy.
Hello, we'll give it a couple minutes here, and I will do roll call, and then we can go ahead and start with the meeting and so forth, okay?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. We're kind of staging here, waiting for everybody to get on. We'll do roll call and then get the meeting started.
Okay, thank you.
Does anybody need anything? Is anybody not able to review materials? Okay, thank you. Is Vice Chairman Gonzalez on the phone? We have more than four now, but I'm going to go ahead and do roll, and then we'll figure out what to do from there. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Chairman Kagan.
Present.
Vice Chairman Gonzalez. Absent. Board Member O'Hare Schattenberg.
Present.
Board Member Crawford.
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Beller.
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Reinier.
Present.
Okay, so the only person that we don't have is Vice Chairman Gonzalez. Do you want us to try to contact him, or do you want to go ahead and get started?
My opinion is, in interest of time, we can go ahead and get started since we have a quorum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that okay with everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So the first matter we have today is case number 2018-RCE-0025. Just as a note to the board, these are the new case numbers that we'll be using when a new e-licensing system starts. So if you see a little difference in the case numbers for a little while, that's the reason why. This case was opened against Chelsea Rodriguez.
Did we have board member or board chair Kagan call the meeting to order?
Yes. Yes. Our assistant attorney general asked Chairman Kagan to call the meeting to order, please.
So I will call to order the meeting of the telephonic special meeting on June 7th. At 12:02 p.m.
Thank you. We do not have anybody appearing for the public at the office today, board members.
Okay.
Can I go ahead and do the report? Okay. I'm going to go through the investigative report, and then if you have questions, comments, we can go from there. Ms. Rodriguez was reported as missing for a few hours during her shift. On the night shift of May 6, 2018, it was reported to the hospital administration that they could not contact her. Chelsea Rodriguez was located, and due to this odd behavior, she was then asked to complete a drug test and placed on leave until the results came back. RCP Rodriguez was found to have tested positive for a cocaine metabolite after that for cause drug test was done. Due to the violations of Honor Health Scottsdale's policies and procedures, she was terminated on May 23rd of 2018. And at the termination, she did sign the form, and she was advised to notify the Respiratory Care Board of that termination for cause. We just had somebody check in.
It's me, Jack. It's Joe.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Gonzalez. We did roll call, and we just started the summary of the case.
Yeah, I had a little difficulty, but I'm here now.
Thank you very much, sir. To inform the board, we have not received any notification from RCP Rodriguez. I have attempted to contact her since late last week on several occasions by telephone and email. She was sent notices of this meeting. However, I have been unable to contact her. I haven't had any communication with her since we've opened the matter. However, due to the allegations in the case, I thought the board should look at this and decide whether or not they would want to summarily suspend the license or send it in a different direction.
What did she test positive for?
Cocaine metabolite. The only other significant thing at this time was she's been licensed since about 2010. On her original application for licensure with the board, she did report that she had been in rehab, which would have been during her high school years, for an addiction to methamphetamine. And she disclosed that she did go through rehab, completed that, and didn't have a problem. That was back in 2005. That's the only thing that I saw that was significant in her history with the board. She's had no other complaints, no other issues with the board since that time.
The only thing that I would like to add is that on the LabCorp drug test results, it says positive for cocaine, and it also says positive for oxycodone, oxymorph, and positive for oxycodone, and positive for oxymorphone.
That's what I was just going to say, is the drug screen on page 18 shows more than cocaine.
The Madam Chair, Board Member Beller, yes, I saw that. Apparently the MRO, the medical review officer, ruled those out. And only when they issued the positive test, it was only for the cocaine metabolite. The staff has not had enough time to subpoena records from the medical review officer to determine if, in fact, she had prescriptions for those other things that were found in the drug test. So for right now, we're relying on the positive test, which was disclosed for cocaine metabolite. There may be other issues that we have to investigate as far as a pharmacy audit to find out if there's abuse with the prescription meds. I just don't have an answer at this time.
And if the board would like, this is Assistant Attorney General Shin Eckberg. If the board would like, I actually have a clearer timeline based on all the communication that kind of went back and forth at the hospital, if the board would like to hear it.
I would like that.
Okay. So the board received this information on May 29th. The test results on the positive cocaine test came back on May 21st, which is why this has been taking so long, considering that I think she was sent home on May 7th. So on May 6th, it was reported that she began RCP Rodriguez began her shift at 6:23 in the evening. At 8:32, she notified RCP Sherry Toledo that she was going to clock out for a 30-minute lunch and would be forwarding all of her calls to RCP Toledo. From what I can gather, it sounds like they have a work cell phone that they carry around and are allowed to contact each other for patient care. RCP Amy Acuna was asked to assist RCP Toledo while respondent was at lunch for her 30 minutes. About 1 hour later, they were getting overwhelmed, so RCP Acuna contacted RCP Toledo about her whereabouts, about RCP Rodriguez's whereabouts. And RCP Toledo said that she had not seen the respondent in the last hour, and she had not returned from lunch, and that her calls were still being forwarded to her phone. Concerned, RCP Acuna went to look for respondent's vehicle, RCP Rodriguez's vehicle, asked for a description, and went out into the parking lot and could not find it. At that point, RCP Acuna reported the absence to their nursing administrator, whose name is Wynema McElveen. She goes by Nima. Multiple attempts to contact RCP Rodriguez via her work phone and her personal cell phone were made. She never answered, and the phone calls were still being forwarded on her work phone. So the nursing administrator, Nima, contacted the respiratory director, Abby Wolstenholm, and Joe Villa, who is from hospital security. It sounds like Joe Villa had told Nima that hospital security was very familiar with RCP Rodriguez and her vehicle and her parking habits, because a few weeks prior, nursing administrator Cindy Sackett had asked security to monitor her whereabouts because people had been complaining she was disappearing for hours at a time. Joe Villa was asked to canvass the perimeter of the building to look for Ms. Rodriguez. Or to find her vehicle, and at that time he couldn't find her. He said he looked in the parking lot, he looked in her usual parking spots, nothing. So during this time, 2EC, which is a nursing unit at Scottsdale Healthcare, contacted Nima to report that their respiratory tech was missing. RCP Rodriguez finally contacted RCP Toledo at 11:22 p.m. RCP Toledo was in the middle of responding to a trauma, so RCP Acuna answered her phone and told RCP Rodriguez that she needed to contact Nima because Nima wanted to see her. Around the same time, Director Wolstenholm called RCP Rodriguez on her personal cell. She said it rang 6 to 7 times, and that when RCP Rodriguez finally picked up the phone, she sounded very confused and out of sorts and did not understand this issue with the situation. RCP Rodriguez came in to meet with Nima and Nicole Bagnoli, who is also an employee there, and she sticks to her story that she'd only been gone a short while for her 30-minute lunch break, that she went to Walgreens to get some nasal spray, and the rest of the time, even though she had her phone off and that she had just accidentally left her calls on call forwarding, she had been working on 2EC the entire time. Nima notified RCP Rodriguez that couldn't have been possible because the 2EC nursing staff had called looking for her. At that point, RCP Rodriguez could not verbalize any reasonable explanation for where she had been for nearly 3 hours. And at that time, she had not notified her director or any other employee that she planned to be gone for 3 hours. They contacted Universal Background for a for-cause drug screen at that point. RCP Rodriguez signed the consent forms to the drug screen, and it was conducted at about 12:19 in the morning on May 7th. She was told that she could not drive herself home after the drug screen. And Nima called Yellow Cab to pick respondent up. Joe Villa walked her out to the cab and saw her get in the cab. And she stopped by her car. And then Joe Villa also mentioned that her car, about 1:30 in the morning when he went back into the parking lot for rounds, her car was no longer there. We don't know whether she drove herself home or if she had somebody come get her car or if she came back later. The medical review officer verification forms in your packet do show that May 21st was when the testing was verified, and it did test positive for cocaine. And she was terminated from her employment. The date I had on termination form is May 22nd. And that is the end.
Okay, thank you. And we've not heard from her, and she did not report this herself. There's been no communication at all.
No.
Okay.
If I may ask, she asked to have the specimen split herself. One laboratory found absolutely nothing, but LabCorp was the one that found that she was positive. Is that accurate?
I did not see the second test results.
This is Jack Conford. There are several other lab test results in there that were from
different dates.
Her original employment, and then one or two that were periodic early in her career at Scottsdale Health. So there are a couple.
Okay,
yeah, there are a couple negative results in there, but it's not applicable to this particular incident.
2009, 2010, 2011, Southwest are all negative, but I didn't see. The only thing I saw was the one positive from LabCorp. I'm not sure if they ever split the sample for a retest because I didn't see any follow-up.
The sample was requested to be split by RCP Rodriguez, but we don't have any results from that split sample that I am aware of.
This is Alan. In the interest of public safety, I would motion to merrily suspend her license.
Okay,
we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
We have a motion and a second, and now we have time for discussion. And I think someone was just going to say something.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure, because we're on teleconference, that we state the names of the board members that are making the motions and the seconds.
So, that was Alan Crawford that made the motion.
Board Member Beller, second.
Thank you.
And was somebody else going to say something?
And I believe, just for discussion purposes, if you want to look at your statutes and rules, I know on the investigative report there were some suggested potential violations, but I wanted to just direct the board that there's a possibility here that RCP Rodriguez has violated ARS 32-3501-9-C-G-I-J-K-L. And
wait, nine? It's not even on here.
Huh?
32-3501-9 is not even on our agenda. Does that matter? Or on our investigative report?
It is. Does it say 10 on yours?
It does.
Yeah, it was a numbering issue from when we redid our statute. So it is 10. Or it is 9 now. They were moved up by one number. So
it
would be
now.
10 on yours, but there's C-G-I-J-K-L, and I think on the report it just had, let me just flip here. It had only listed G-I-J and L.
Frankie is reading from a draft of an order. So this comes down to a board choice of the violations that you want to cite in the board order. You may see some differences between the Assistant Attorney General and staff because there's a different opinion on whether or not there's different duplicative issues in one act and one or two violations that can apply to it. So it's a term of art, and whatever the board decides to put into that order is fine with
either of us.
Yeah, either of us. That's what she's pointing out, some of the differences between the investigator report and what she saw that could be a violation.
So you have G, I, J, and L in there. I am also potentially suggesting C, which is the illegal use of narcotic or hypnotic drugs or substances, as well as K, which is violating or attempting to violate directly or indirectly, or assisting or in abetting the violation or conspiring to violate a provision of this chapter, as well as Arizona Administrative Codes 1, 6, 10, and 12. And I think in your report,
I have 1, 10, and 12.
I've also included 6, just kind of a catch-all, but it's endangering a patient or public's physical or emotional health or engaging in conduct that may reasonably be expected to do so. So those are your array of options.
do we have to state which one of these we feel are being violated as we decide on a suspension or not?
It's going to be written into the order, so if there's something you disagree with or don't believe should be in the order, I can remove it. But, you know, it's more of in how we're drafting the order, so...
Right. I mean, I personally agree with the ones that you added.
Okay.
Or that you have.
B and K.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Alan, and I concur.
Okay. So I'll make sure that goes into the order then.
Okay. And I'm not saying that we're ready for it, but because we're on the phone, are we going to do it as a roll call vote?
Yes, please. It's disciplinary.
Okay. Any further discussion? Joe, anything?
Actually, I found for DACA where it said if she requested it would be assessment be split, where it said my determination verification is positive. I don't know exactly what that means, but it's signed by the medical review officer on the 21st.
Can you tell us what page you're looking at?
Oh, God. I think it's 16. I've tried to make this thing bigger, but... my old eyes are having difficulty still. But, yeah, it's page 16.
Yeah, it's page 16. The top of the page says MRO verification.
Yeah.
So my experience with that, and, again, we haven't gotten all the information back because we haven't subpoenaed the MRO, is that when somebody's being tested, requests a split order, they are responsible for having the chain of custody and having that split sample sent to a different lab for testing and verification. I have no idea whether any of that has been done.
Right. And the information that we have to go on is a positive drug screen from at least half the sample.
That's correct.
And it doesn't look like this facility ever tested the split specimen because it looks at, if you look at the bottom, it's still blank where it says to be completed by the medical review officer on the split specimen.
That would be done by a different lab.
Yeah, and none of it's on this paperwork, so it doesn't look like it was done by this lab at least.
Okay.
So if you're looking at the facts that you're basing your decision on and the violations that Frankie cited, you're not looking just at that particular result. You're looking at the behavior, the fact that she couldn't be contacted in the hospital when she had patients, which could be patient abandonment, which is one of the allegations. You're looking at the whole scenario, and those will be written into the facts of any order that you might decide on.
Right. Okay.
I think this is Board Member Beller. The only other thing that I don't know if we mentioned or not was it looks like the HR was also involved. And so on, let me see, page 22, there's a statement from Kathy Waddy, which I think was referenced previously. But she says that they basically there's other employees have given statements as to her disappearing in the night shift and being seen on side streets around the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay. Any other discussion from anybody?
Well, there's been a pattern of things that she's done, you know, incorrectly and has it corrected. So, you know, the drug thing, I think, is just the topper. So I'm good.
Okay. Jack, you want to make it kind of easier and for a roll call vote, maybe just call names out and... So we're looking at, we're voting on the motion, which was to summary suspension of this license.
Yes.
Yes.
Or do you want to just call our names out?
No, okay. That's fine. I'll call them out. Board Member Beller.
Yes.
Board Member Reinier.
Yes.
Board Member Crawford.
Yes.
Board Member O'Hare Schattenberg.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Gonzalez.
Yes.
And Chairman Kagan.
Yes.
So by a vote of 6-0, the motion to summarily suspend, RCP Rodriguez's license to practice has passed. This is going to conclude our meeting today. I just want to tell you everybody, thank you very much for getting together, on such short notice. The summary suspension puts in place an automatic administrative hearing, which will take place within 60 days of today's date, most likely the July meeting. Okay. And then the only other thing that we have to bring up is the call to public, Madam Chair.
Oh. Okay, so I will do the call to public, and if there's anyone on the phone or in the office and the public that would like to speak, they are free to do so and will be given 5 minutes at this point, knowing that we cannot have any conversation about something that's not on the agenda. Anybody? Okay. Do we have anything for R3, items to be placed on a future agenda? No? All right. Then at this time, I will again thank everyone for being here. And at 12:24, this meeting is adjourned.
Can we have a motion to adjourn, please?
I motion to adjourn. This is Gonzalez.
Thank you.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Oh, we're second.
Thank you.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor of adjourning. Do we need a roll call vote because we're on the phone?
No, thank you.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed, say nay. All right, that motion passes, and I think we are good.
Thank you again. I really appreciate the time today.
Thanks, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Hey,
bye.
Bye.
So you okay. Have copies of the summary suspension order and...
Hold on a second. Let me save my...
Are you saving your audio?
I am.
Okay.